the whole plane was asleep, and I seen Koba over there. He was like three worlds over, so he's way on the other side, but I just seen him bobbing his head with headphones on. But when I go over there, he's got a piece of scratch paper with like 30 different little quartz on it. It blew me away. Wow. It was like a beautiful mind. Like, he wanted to be the best, and he did everything he could.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Thomas Dopeziola, whatever you want to call me. This is the Dope As Usual podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Marty O'Neill.
What's up, guys?
What's up, guys? This is the Dope As Usual podcast. We're here to talk about life, drugs, problems, accomplishments, and everything in between. Today, you guys have been bugging, and it's finally here. This is the Matt Barnes episode. Thanks for being here.
Fellas, thank you for having me, man.
Appreciate
it's good to be
you.
Here. Good to be here.
And the only guest I see rolls up with their own joint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Joints.
Is that a glass of ginger ale?
It is. Like I haven't had no food yet, so I figure I'm going to smoke, and I'm probably going to hit Tito's Tacos after we get high and then just go finish off my day.
Tito's Tacos?
Yeah.
What's that? What is that?
You're not familiar?
Uh-huh.
You got to hit Tito's. It's solid. I prefer Ramona's, but Tito's is on the way home.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I never heard none of these places before.
Yeah.
I always say I moved. I'm from Merced.
Okay.
So I moved down here.
Oh, you're up north guy.
Yeah, I'm from the Valley.
I'm Sac, so.
Yeah, no, he was telling me, he's like, the area, I had no idea that you were from the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
So you remember, I'll just get off the start.
You
remember when the weed just disappeared?
When what?
When the weed just disappeared
in
like 2011,
mm-hmm.
12? All right, so you're from up?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
See, it's different when you're from that area.
Yeah.
Sac right now, I'll just say, is booming. On the production side of like legal weed right now,
mm-hmm.
It is the shit.
Well, there's so much now. I feel like it's a watered down market. The market got
the
watered
weed?
Down.
Of
course, because there's just so much now. So it was such a hot thing. What, 3 years ago, maybe?
3 years ago. Do you remember?
I mean, it's been Maine. I mean, up north, we've been doing it for a long time.
Forever.
But you know.
All right, we're gonna smoke. Let's start.
Yeah.
Let's cheers.
And what do we got here?
This is a Seven Leaves pre-rolled. The Sacramento Kings theme. The Kings have a theme called Light the Beam when they win. So we made some pre-rolls with, you know, a company I'm part of, Seven Leaves. So just, I'm not normally a pre-roll guy.
Oh, Seven Leaves. This has been a minute, huh?
Yeah, I've been with Seven Leaves since like 2017.
When
2018.
I met you then.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
So
were they working with my guys? Is that what's going on?
Is that probably that's
that's
connection?
That's probably what it was, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not normally a pre-roll guy, but these ones aren't bad, so.
I don't do pre-rolls often.
Yeah, me neither.
Usually they're hard as a rock.
Mm-hmm. I normally fresh roll my shit, but.
Are joints your main thing?
Huh?
Are joints your main thing?
Yeah, I was I smoked Swishers for like 20-something years.
Damn.
And I was hanging out with Wiz one day, and he finally convinced me to try papers, and I tried them, and I never went back. So that was probably like in 2015, maybe, 2016. So I've been papers since.
Did it affect your cardio?
I didn't know it did, because I was smoking Swishers. So I've been smoking Swishers since I was 14, so I just didn't really know what free lungs until I got on papers. And then after that, I'm like, holy shit, there's not
it?
A cloud. Oh, my
Instant.
God, absolutely. There's not a cloud on my chest no more.
Stop smoking Swishers. The winter, you ever get that?
Oh, nasty. Every time you wake up, it's horrible, nasty.
Yeah.
I won't even smoke if I can't smoke. I don't really do back. I don't do nothing but papers now. So
same. I don't smoke nothing but papers. A hemp wrap if.
What about dabs and edibles and stuff? Where you stand on that? Not so much.
I need to learn them a little bit better. You know what I mean? I'm not a dabs. I've tried a few dabs. Dabs are just not my game. Like I like the process of getting high.
Yeah,
you know
the rolling,
I mean?
The feeling.
Roll it.
Isaac's talking about.
You know, you have to, when you put it out, write it right. Like, you know where you're going to get with edibles and dabs. It's just, particularly with dabs, it's too fast. And then edibles, I just don't really understand the microdosing of what my body can handle, so.
It differs, man.
I'm a little too old to be venturing out there now. Just, you know, I'm 43 now,
I don't think
so.
You are, man. I think you're just
I want to try it.
Like,
I just have to know what I'm getting into.
All right, so how about this? Next time I come on Wednesday, I'm going to leave something on your desk right here.
Yeah.
Try that.
Okay.
Try that.
Edibles?
Edibles, and I'll leave you, do you fuck with like electronic rigs?
I'll try it.
Try it. That way you don't have to hit the torch. It's not all high. It's just a little, you drop it in and you're done.
Okay.
All right, I'll leave it on the table right here.
Simpler than
that. For anybody that doesn't know, not only is he an NBA legend, but he's the host of the hit podcast, All the Smoke.
We're neighbors.
Literally.
Man, we're grateful
Literally
to be
neighbors.
Here.
A wall.
I mean, you guys are with some big hitters. I mean, you guys are neighbors with us, neighbors with Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you guys are really doing your thing, man.
We talk
Congratulations.
All the time. Thank you. It's like I'm the shortest and the fattest dude in the room. But I might be the highest dude in the room.
Perfect.
So it's one thing we were saying.
You're gonna be fighting with Mike for that. Mike's on another planet.
I know, but I honestly,
straight weed, probably.
I was at the weed and dads.
Yeah.
I'm like, give me 15 minutes. I think I got them.
Straight weed.
Mushrooms, I don't want to experience more than 8 grams. I haven't gone more than that. I don't want to.
8 grams at once?
Yeah, that's like the most I'll ever do. Like,
Jesus,
that's scary.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but I mean, you know he's eating a bag.
Yeah, and he just eats them like
Handful.
He just eats them like fruit.
Nah, I can't do that. I want my brain to stay intact. You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
So, I mean, now that we talked about before we started, they're not testing for weed anymore in the NBA. Were you smoking before games?
Yeah. When I started smoking at 14, so going into my freshman year of high school, and for me, it was an escape. I had a rough childhood. You know, my parents were functioning drug addicts. There was abuse, violence, and I was always just looking for a way out. You know what I mean? So I tried weed the first time, got a horrible headache, took a nap right on the spot, and I came back the next day like, I'm not a quitter. I'm gonna get this right, and, you know, kind of found my way, and I've used it since then. So all through high school, all through UCLA, through my entire pro career. And when I say I smoke before games, it's not like I'm smoking on the way to a game. Like, we'll have a shoot around in the morning for an hour or so. I'll come home, smoke, take a nap, get up, shower, eat, and go to the game. Yeah. So it's within like a, you know, 3 or 4 hour window, I'll smoke. But
all right, so you said 14 also. Do you remember that experience? Who were you with?
My little homeboy, Jesse, and his brother. His brother's the one that got us the weed. He lived on our street, got us the weed. His brother was like 17 or 18, maybe a senior in high school, and let us hit it. And a lot of coughing, and again, headache, instantly went to sleep. But next day, I was just like, okay, I'm not going to take as many hits this time. Let me try it again. Took a few hits, and I was cool, and just kind of increased. I'd probably say my peak of smoking was, probably like 2004 to like 9.
Well, when all the fire was in California.
Yeah, so because that was kind of like my last little run. I had kids in 2008, so I had to kind of slow down there. But we were heavy. Like, my day would be, I'd work out. I'd get up morning and work out, and probably between me and two or three of my homies, we'd smoke 40, 50, 60 blunts a day.
How fat are your blunts, 40, 60 blunts a day?
They were heavy, you know what I mean, because I had money. So we were rolling big boys. So maybe it'd be 3-4 of us.
So you're doing this one.
Yeah,
just hanging out, and it's burning.
But we, you know, that's back when we passed it around. Now everybody smokes their own. You know what I mean? But back that used to be the thing. Was we, you know, we played Madden all day and just smoke weed and order food. We get too high, we jump in the pool and just keep the day going.
Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing.
Come on, man. It's not a bad luck.
It sounds like a music video. Mm-hmm.
That kind of leads into one of my questions. When you're established in the league, when you're a star, you got your contract, you're an official dude in the league. How hard is your training day to day, like cardio, strength training?
I don't even think you have to be a star to do it. You just, to make it, you have to do it. You know what I mean? So it's a 4 to 6 hours, depending on who you are. Damn. You know what I mean? I would get up. I would run in the morning. Then I would do a weight session. And then, you know, you get shots up. And then if you play, and then sometimes you mix boxing in there or biking or swimming. So the way I look at it is, it's just like they were paying me a good amount of money just to stay in shape. So I'd be done by 1 o'clock unless I went back and played at night. So I would have the whole summer to just, anytime after 1 o'clock, I do whatever I want the entire time. So it's just, it was a blast. And like, I didn't take that for granted.
Are you like a distance runner?
I love to run. Well, not anymore as much, but yeah, I used to like to run. That was the main way I stayed in shape. I always prided myself on being like one of the most in shape guys. Like, I always, like, when they calculated how many people, like, even with stars, I wasn't a star, I was a role player, but who ran the most miles this season, I was always top 5, top 10 every season. So being in shape was my thing, and I used to love to run. That was my main thing. I used to love to run.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say I love to run.
Shipping costs are the number one cause of abandoned carts. Have you left the cart because the shipping costs were too expensive? I know I have. When using ShipStation, you can lower shipping costs, make returns easy, and keep your customers happy.
As most of us know, running a business can be stressful, but with ShipStation, it doesn't have to be. Right now is the time to take advantage with a quick setup and a free trial.
ShipStation makes it easy to grow your business by handling all your orders from different marketplaces in one dashboard. ShipStation effortlessly integrates everywhere you ship online, from Amazon, Etsy, eBay, Shopify, all one dashboard.
You can manage every single thing about your business from the ShipStation dashboard, and that's one dashboard. It'll always find you the cheapest shipping price. It automates shipping tasks. It prints your labels for you, and it will give you the best rates for your customers on the shipping. On top of that, auto delivery notifications, so you're not in the emails just responding to every customer and where their tracking is. Honestly, for me to you, it makes everything easier. No more weighing every single package. It automates everything just so you can print the label, ship it out, make money.
With the best discounts in the industry, you'll never have to worry about overpaying for shipping. Get up to 84% off USPS and UPS rates with ShipStation. If that's not enough, use our code DOPEASUSUAL for a free 2 months. Over 130,000 companies have grown their online business using ShipStation. And 98% of customers that stick with ShipStation for more than a year become customers for life. 98%.
If you're a small business owner like me, keep it going. ShipStation just automates it, makes life easier, makes the warehouse life easier. Just trust me. Remember, 2 free months, quick setup. It's free. Try it out. You have nothing to lose.
Make mealtime easy with fresh, wholesome ingredients delivered directly to your door. No lines, no hassles, just easy, healthy meals you can make from home.
HelloFresh makes it easy to eat healthy, all right? These are dietitian-approved meals. On some of the meals, it'll say dietitian win. That's a tag on some of the meals that are under 700 calories and have a third of the sodium. As I said, they're not just junk food. This is for your life, this is for your health, and it makes it easy.
With the cost of groceries going up and up, now's the perfect time to get started with HelloFresh. HelloFresh is cheaper than grocery shopping and 25% less expensive than takeout.
If you're an entrepreneur, you know food is the last thing on your mind when you're working and working. HelloFresh makes everything easier, right? No more going to the store, like Marty said, waiting in long lines. If you don't know recipes, like me, and you eat quesadillas all the time, all right, HelloFresh is going to really help you plan out your meals so your family's well-balanced.
Go to HelloFresh.com/YOLA50 and use code YOLA50 for 50% off plus free shipping.
Remember, HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. So take advantage of this deal, YOLA50, at checkout, HelloFresh.com/YOLA50, and that will get you 50% off for your entire order plus free shipping. He's about to run the OC Marathon. My wife just ran
still run?
The LA Marathon.
I'm about to do it for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Any running history or...
I mean, I played basketball my whole life,
okay.
But then I fell off
right. When
I, like, stopped playing basketball.
For it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Since November, I've been running and lifting and stuff, so I'll just drop, like, 30, 35 pounds.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, our homies just did the LA Marathon. My wife did the LA Marathon. They're all potheads. But I just feel like if you can run 26 miles, your body don't shut down, you're a monster.
Yeah, absolutely. We see now more than anything, you could be functional with weed. It's always, people have always known that, but it's been, hasn't been talked about. I think when they started finding out some of their favorite stars of the game smoke, it kind of changed the whole narrative. It was such a negative gateway, loser, lazy. Mm-hmm. And we're like, I was thinking before it was mainstream, I'm just like, some of the best players in the world are high right now.
Yeah.
Dropping 35, getting finals MVPs, winning championships. So I just always said, as soon as a superstar came out and kind of endorsed it, it would change. And I think, shout out to my brother Kevin Durant, because he's someone who kind of stepped in this lane and really embraced it. And it hasn't been no real pushback.
So no,
I think it's great.
And it's like in culture to where they're making jokes on Jimmy Kimmel and shit about weed. Mm-hmm. And what I think did it, and even though it wasn't good for him at the time, I think when Michael Phelps got caught with that picture hitting the
ball. What started the conversation?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Like, how many gold medals did you just win?
Right. It starts the conversation. But he took a lot of shit, though.
He got the worst of it.
Come on, man.
He got the worst of it.
Actually, Ricky Williams got the worst of it.
We had him on last season.
But I think on a world stage, Phelps. But I'm saying Olympics, kind of the first kind of like pro, I feel like, in our space. I feel like Ricky Williams
was Diaz before his time. You friends with the Diaz brothers, by chance?
I don't know. We're from the, no? They're from the 209.
Yeah,
I would love to fuck with them. I just never ran across them. But I've always been a huge fan of them dudes. A huge fan of the Diaz brothers. We'll run across each other one day.
Eventually.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
That kind of leads into a question I have. So
that's a good question.
Past or present, and you can pick yourself, which NBA player would make the most seamless transition into MMA, do you think?
Oh, man.
Oh, hold on real quick. It's a great, great joint.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Nah.
Yes, shut it. That's seven leaves. Get that. I just have a different understanding and respect because it's a difference between being able to fight, being able to box, and then MMA.
Yeah.
Like, I have such a huge respect for every craft that, I grew up fighting. So that doesn't necessarily mean that's going to trans over great to boxing. It definitely doesn't trans over to MMA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would have to say someone who practiced. They said James Johnson is someone who was in, into, I don't know what he practiced, but someone who's just kind of in that space. So I'd probably say him. He'd probably be dope.
Mm-hmm.
Check him out.
Good answer. I was always I wish you could do video games, have LeBron in there, Chew in there, just see what happens.
Def Jam, Fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, bro. It's one of the best games ever, man.
I remember that shit.
Just cross it over to some other shit.
Yeah. That
shit guarantee you it sells. Come on. You're not going to be like, yo, I'm a little baby and I'm fighting Shaq.
Yeah.
Stop. Just cross it over.
That'd be fun.
That'd be sick as fuck.
Someone needs to come up with that game and we'll go nuts.
No, for real. So, yo, I didn't realize you grew up in this area. All right, so, question. Since you're from that area, does X-Rated?
Yeah, X-Rated, right. Brother Lynch, SIBO.
All right, cool. I wasn't sure. Yeah. I just got the vinyls the other day.
Oh, yeah, I heard they were out. Yeah.
24D, or which album was it? I can't remember. I just bought a couple. Yeah. I bought so many records
There's been some talent from SAC. Mozzie.
Yeah, Mozzie's from SAC.
Free Mozzie. You know, we had him on All the Smoke.
He's chill. I met him before.
Yeah, SAC's got some talent out there, man. But yeah, we grew up listening to that. Grew up listening to Master P. That's when TRU first came out. That was kind of like my junior, senior year.
You just had him on the show, right?
We just had Master P. So yeah, but I always listened to like whatever was in our side. I didn't really start listening to like Jay-Z and other type of music till I came to LA out of college. Like in SAC, really? I didn't have no money, so we listened to what was on the radio, whatever the homies had. You know
what
I mean?
He put me on Jay-Z 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I never really listened to it. No, I'm going to be honest, right?
I was underground. Oh, man, I didn't have an understanding. Like, if to me, it was Pac, Snoop, Q, like West Coast side, what I heard on the radio. Yep. You know what I mean? So it's just like, my eyes didn't really open up until I came to college in like the late 90s out here, and that's when I started getting all the other shit.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
I got to say, this is the best set. Your set is the best set in podcasts.
So, man, thank you.
In here and see, like, we got the same top.
Yeah.
You know, to walk in here and have them on the wall is like so legendary.
Shout out our guy, Ink One, man. He stayed in here for how long, Christine?
He did 3 separate overnight paints.
And damn.
He has our new
one's
burning set too.
So he's a monster, bro. So yeah, shout out Ink One. But it was just, you know, when I created All the Smoke, I just wanted to create this kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the best conversations are like in the man cave, watching the game, smoking and drinking. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So if you can capture, and you don't have to be a celebrity to have those kind of vibes. That's where the best men conversations are at. Like, not the barbershop, it's the man cave, kicking back, burning one, drinking. So I wanted to be able to create that kind of vibe, but just have cameras capture it. So, you know, my goal was always to make a cool environment so when people come in, they feel comfortable, you know what I mean? And they feel comfortable enough to share. So I was just like, I want to create this vibe. And I just, you know, what do you want to do? I was like, I want to put some people on the wall. Like, what do you want to do it? And I found this dude on Instagram. I was just like, bro, can you do this for our new podcast? And he came in and knocked that shit out. And it just kind of, we went from there, you know what I mean? So our first year, we went Sports Podcast of the Year. Like, we didn't even know what a podcast was 6 months before we started. You know what I mean? So we came in here just kind of gangbusters. But because I feel like because we create that kind of environment. Like, if you come up here on the shoot day, like, you know, these are our homies. Yep. You know what I mean? So it's just like we come kick back, we smoke, we drink, we have music, we eat food, and then we sit down and talk. And
how long you guys been friends for?
Me and Stack, I've known him since I came in the league, but we became brothers and, like, we became teammates in 2007, and we made NBA history when the Warriors beat Dallas in the first round. That very next season, my mom died at the very beginning of the season, and Jack was just the one every day to come check on me, bring me food, come smoke with me, try to make me laugh. So we went from, like, new teammates. We were only teammates for, like, 8 months to being, like, brothers. So we've just been rocking ever since.
Damn. Same shit. We went through that same shit.
Same shit last year.
Really?
His mom, yeah.
Yeah.
That was
sorry to hear that.
But you've had so many legends. Even outside of basketball, obviously with basketball, you've had on Kobe, you've had on Steph, you've had on Magic Johnson, Charles Barkley, everybody. But you've had on Will Smith, Kevin Hart, so many people in music and just outside of basketball. Has there been an episode that really stands out?
It's so hard to pick a favorite.
Yeah,
because you find such, like, to me, it's just like I'm getting to interview my peers or people I look up to, and I'm learning more about them. You know what I mean? So I take something from every episode. You know, obviously, you think we did Kobe's last interview. It was supposed to be a two-parter because we only got 40 minutes with the first time, so we were supposed to do, like, a part two. So that was obviously great. Shannon Sharp was a dope episode. I think that's our most viewed episode. You know, then you fuck around and get a Charles. You think about it, we did Magic Johnson, Charles Barkley, Isaiah Thomas within like a 6-week run.
Jeez.
Like, to me, there's no other show that gets the talent, but then gets the talent to open up. And that's what's special because, you know, obviously there's so many different platforms and everyone's doing interviews these days. Like, you know, why do people want to come to your show and why do they feel like they opened up so much on your show? You know, so to me, it's all about the vibe. It's cool people that work here that kick back and smoke with us. It's just, to me, I want to create just a very comforting situation. And, you know, my favorite shit is when, well, I've never told nobody this, you know, but I'm a, you know what I mean? That really makes me feel like, okay, they're fucking with us. They're really comfortable. So that's kind of just been my goal and in this space, and it's been winning.
That's really the whole point of what we did for our fans. Because I, on my, like I said, we met a long time ago, but what I was doing there was I made the Wii company based off of Quan and Tony and all those because I had such a big following online, but what I did was just tell stories.
Right.
And I feel like now, I mean, probably us, we don't get it because we went outside and rode a fucking bike and went down the street to our friends, but a lot of people now, if you don't approach them or talk to them, they're not going to talk to nobody that day. Like, I feel a lot of people are just such homebodies or almost antisocial just because that's where they were brought up. So I feel like shows like this makes people feel like, yo, I'm sitting right
to where hang out,
getting big, and I'm smoking. I feel like they're my homies. So we do meet and greets. You meet people in person. They're juiced, right?
Love it.
Because I guarantee you meet people that are like, yo, love the NBA, the show. No. Love the show. Like,
everybody's all the small. I mean, it's LA, so it's a Lakers, and then... Yeah. But outside of that, it's just like, man, all the smoke. You know what I mean? We went to an All-Star game, I want to say, in Chicago when it was out there. When I tell you it was, you would have thought they were screaming for us like we were stars. You know what I mean? It's just like neither of us knew. We weren't stars. You know what I mean? We were stars in our roles, but we know where we were at. These motherfuckers were screaming for us. You know what I mean? So to just seeing it, it's crazy, too, because you get it's all different ages, genders, races. It's a beautiful thing that kind of just brings everybody together. So I agree, it's very important because we do live in a society that's kind of technology driven and very self-centered, and you know, you need to sit down, laugh, and then be able to smoke something and enjoy and just man, appreciate shit.
Exactly. So, question. He got my kids a PlayStation 5 for Christmas. We got 2K23, so I'm like playing basketball with my son now, introducing him to every era of all the players.
How old is he?
8.
Dope. He's smashing, though.
Love
so,
him.
Yeah,
he's,
it's
he's,
tough.
He's better.
It's tough.
This will text me fucking.
But and that leads us to watching highlight reels. We've been watching like Kobe, all the different highlight reels on YouTube and stuff. Mm-hmm. And about a week, 2 weeks ago, we were watching the reel of the infamous pump fake to Kobe.
Yeah.
Did you know? Because I was trying to tell him, because he's like, Kobe wasn't nice. And I'm like, being a champion isn't about being nice. No. It's about being a leader, being tough, being like a warrior out there. And it's hard for a kid to understand.
Especially a young kid.
Tell him Kobe was a fucking dog. you know, that moment was, you know, it just happened. You know, I had so much respect for him, getting a chance to see him, his process coming up with me being at UCLA while he was here and getting a chance to meet him and kind of just his evolution as a player. So I've always was a huge fan, and I just – you know, remember, I knew, like,
thank you, sir.
If I get there, he's going to be the person I have to guard. You know what I mean? So I just would always appreciate that opportunity. And it was just always a competitive situation. You know, Kobe's always going to score. And my goal, not only with him, but anybody, was to make him take, if he's going to score 30 points, make him take 30 shots. Give him nothing easy. Don't give him no and ones. If he pump faced you too much, foul his ass. Like, that's like, because my kind of approach when I guard it, because every night I guard the best players in the world. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my approach to it, and people respected it. You know what I mean? That was my lane. Like I said, I wasn't no star, but I was a star of my role. Like, I knew exactly what the fuck I had to do. That's why no matter whatever team I went to, I either started or I was like the first or second guy to come off the bench, because I just knew what my job was. So the Kobe situation, again, just a lot of respect and, you know, admiration at the time, but it was heading towards the playoffs. And Kobe's just someone who is, you know, obviously physically, to me, he's the most skilled player we've ever seen. So he always had that, but then he would try to just mentally fuck with you, you know. And we talked about it on our show, like, you know, grab you, elbow you, do little dirty shit, and they would never call it because it's him. Yeah, he would get away with murder, like elbowing people. It's just like insane. So it just, we were going back and forth, and he had hit me with a few elbows, and I was just tired of, like, I was ready to fight him. And I told him, I was like, bro, I want to fight you, you know what I mean? And it just, so when the ball fake happened, it wasn't something like I planned, like I wanted to fight. But
did it even register this is the
reaction?
With you?
Like, no, I didn't. I had no. It was like I was on autopilot. My arms just did it. But if like if you look at me, like we were running a play for Vince Carter, so I was looking to get the Vince the ball off the inbound. So it just happened, and then that shit, like, you know, it was on his eyelashes, and he didn't blink. But that, I think that changed his impression of me, because as soon as that season ended, I got a phone call from a number I didn't know. I happened to pick it up, and it was him. And he's just, you know, we talked back and forth about, you know, they had won the championship that year. And he asked what I was going to do the following year. And I was, you know, talking to Miami and Toronto. And he's just like, you know, anyone crazy enough to fuck with me is crazy enough to play with me. He's like, do you want to be a Laker?
Oh, shit. Like,
hell, motherfucking yeah. You know what I mean? I'm from NorCal. So I grew up, you know, Magic was it. Showtime Lakers were everything to me. So You know, he invited me to come be a part of his team, and like 4 days later, I was a Laker. So it went from an moment incident to what turned up in a short amount of time, me and like a real brotherhood. You know what I mean? Like, we used to see each other at, you know, coaching our kids. He would come watch my kids play. We'd go watch him and Gigi do their thing. So it was just like we grew as we went from, you know, competitors to teammates to like brothers. Like, I fuck with Kobe. Like, he used to call me. We'd be coaching tournaments. And he's like, you know, what time the Twins play? They play at 9. I was like, what time you play? 11. He's like, all right. He would come to watch 8-year-old at 9 a.m., 2 hours before his game, you know, and just stand there and show support for my kids and their team, and we would go do the same. So I got a chance to see a different side of, like I said, he was a fucking dog, but he was cool. Like, once he opened up, if he allowed you to come in, great dude. And I even asked him one time, I was like, bro, how come you can't show the world this side of Kobe? And he, like, pondered for a second. He's like, I can't show these motherfuckers that. You know what I mean? Like, he just had his image of who he was and what he was about. And he was about that business. You know what I mean? But I was, you know, fortunate enough to be able to see the man, the father, the businessman, the creative mind, the same passion that drove him for 20 years in the NBA. He's, you know, he told me last time we sat down, he's like, I don't want to be remembered for basketball. Like, I want people to remember for my next 20 years. You know, and that's what kind of grind and mentality he had. So to be able to see that on and off the court as a competitor, a teammate, and then, like I said, as a brother, that was a really dope opportunity.
You've played with so many champions. Like, was his, like, I like to call it killer instinct. See, I was trying to tell my son, I played basketball out of Buffalo my whole life. Uh-huh. But I was too nice. Like, mm-hmm. I really didn't have a killer instinct until I stopped playing basketball, got into music.
Right.
You played with Steph. You played with all the greats. Is he the most locked in and intense athlete?
Absolutely.
That's a fast-ass answer, too.
Absolutely. Kobe was different. I remember one time we were, my first year with the Lakers, we were going to Spain in the summer, in the preseason. And it was the big old planes with, there's beds in there and our families were there and everything. I don't know what time it was, but the whole plane was asleep. And I get it. And I was watching a movie. And I seen Kobe over there. He was like 3 worlds over, so he's way on the other side. But I just seen him bobbing his head with headphones on. So I was about to go over there and start talking shit. I thought he was over there rapping or something. So I was about to go over there and start talking my shit.
Not again, bro. Bring it back.
But when I go over there, he's got a piece of scratch paper with like 30 different little quartz on it. And I'm just like, what the fuck's this dude doing? So I was like, what is this? He's just like, I'm watching. He's like, when they're guarding me, I know I'm going to take 3 guys. So I'm going to take the guy guarding me. I never look at the guy guarding me. I'm looking at the 2 help sides. He's like, so within this, I'm trying to see where you, Lamar, Fish, Powell, and Bynum, Meta, where you guys are all going to be open at. So he just was playing like on different parts of the court. Every part of the court, he would have the defense shifted to him and seeing where we can get open at. And I was like, what the fuck. But he was over there jamming. Like I said, I thought he was rapping. And I get over there and he has all these little quartz and looks like scribbled everywhere, but he was really breaking down. Here, this is you. When this happens here, you can do this. I'm just like, whoa.
Like, I was asleep, man. You're doing this shit.
No, but it blew me away. Wow. It just showed like he's like everyone else asleep. And it just showed like it was like a beautiful mind. Like he wanted to be the best. And he did everything he could. Like, his big thing was winning that 6th ring. He's like, I want to be able to sit at the table with MJ, you know, and win 6. So that was his biggest drive. But that motherfucker, I've never seen no one work as hard as him. But another dime, I got a chance to play Allen Iverson. He was a killer. Mm-hmm. Super killer. Little dude.
Little by you mean he's 6 foot.
No, yeah, he's like my height, but he's but going
little
to the
compared
rack
to going against, against
yeah,
you know.
I was a child. I was a kid. Yeah, like, yeah. Allen Iverson's so small. And then I saw his stats when I was a kid. Watching, like, he's little. Not little like that. I mean, compared to Mexican ass, my family.
Yeah, he'd be a giant with your people, but he was little in the league. But that's what I was going to say. Like, always beat up the big burst of sacks on his elbows. Mm. That's why he wore those sleeves to keep the motherfuckers warm. The bruised hips. Like, he walked like an old man, but every night he would get out there and work. Mm. You know what I mean? But he was little. Who else? And Jack Barron was a killer. CP3 was a killer. Damn. Steph, KD, Clay, Dre, everyone in their own ways. Like, I got a chance to play with Shaq, Steve Nash, who else? Vince Carter, prime Dwight Howard. Incredible.
He's Superman. Like the
incredible
Shannon Sharp of the NBA.
But bigger. But bigger.
Yeah.
A 7 foot Shannon Sharp. Yeah. And he was, when I played with him in Orlando, he was incredible. Like I played with a lot of, like, he is the top of my list as far as great players I play with. Yeah, man, I was blessed to play with, you know, Chris Webber.
Who's your greatest white boy of all time? Just
Jay Will, mm-hmm. White Chocolate Jay Will, Sacramento, and then my guy JJ Redick.
Yeah,
I fuck with JJ. I didn't think I liked JJ. It was funny. We talked about it on his podcast because I wasn't sure about you. I was like, I just didn't think I would like you, because you know all the Duke guys have that kind of Duke like cocky image. Like I was cool with Grant Hill because that was one of my favorite players. But the rest of the Duke dudes, I always kind of looked at like this. Like I think the league kind of. So, we teamed up for the first time in Orlando, and it was just like brothers separated at birth. Like I fuck with JJ, and then we played together, you know, with the Clippers too. So someone I didn't even think I would like is probably one of my closest, you know, if you can have them like post NBA friends, because I don't have many. But I definitely fuck with JJ. It's my guy.
You don't have many.
I don't.
I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Yeah,
I'm cool with a lot of people,
but like. Actual, yeah, friends. I get it.
I don't. It's just too much energy. I got a big family. I got six kids. You know what I mean? And a fiance. And I work. I love to work, but I work a lot, so I just don't really have time for it. Like, if we really fuck with each other, we always catch up at some point.
We'll see you every couple months. Yeah. I'll see you.
You know what I mean? Damn, and whenever we see, we picked up like we just saw you yesterday. Yeah. So that's, you know, those are the kind of friends I have. So I could probably count that on, you know, outside of my college homeboys, NBA guys, probably maybe five guys like that.
Yeah.
So
but you get to interview people with like your best friend and shit. It's like us.
Dope, man.
That's exactly what this is. And you know of all people, but think, like I was saying with your peers, like you're saying, I don't think anybody else has gotten these people on the same platform. It's because when you look at somebody like, yeah, you're me, let's fucking talk. It's a different because now with podcasting as fans, because you're even fans of certain people you bring on the show, of course, you're like, oh, I can't wait to hear this shit.
Yeah.
And maybe not all the time you're like geeking out, but the inner you is.
That's the coolest part. You learn so much about people you already admire. You know what I mean? Your peers. You get to learn, you know, really more about them. And I think that's what's kind of helped me because there was such a stigma who I was. You know what I mean? When I played, because people would see me on TV for 2.5 hours, I might slap somebody, cuss a ref out, get kicked out of a game, and, oh, he's an asshole, he's a thug, he's this, he's that. But I was just a competitor.
Yeah.
I knew what my job was. I would smoke weed and go play basketball. Like, it doesn't get better than that.
Did you always have to hide the weed? Like, childhood all the way up?
No, I didn't hide. I mean, it was illegal in the NBA, so I wouldn't let nobody know. Yeah. You know what I mean? I had a couple of teammates I would smoke with here and there, but it wasn't like I was out there freely smoking because we couldn't.
Can I tell you my most embarrassing basketball moment? Maybe you can think of one. Summer league, I graduated at 17. I wasn't even that good. I was like, I played my whole career. I'm way more of a playground player than for school. Mm-hmm. So I was the only kid on the team that went on to play college basketball just off hard work alone. Mm-hmm. So I'm in summer league, only white kid on the team. I'm the youngest by far. Mm-hmm. I got my girlfriend in the stands. All these dudes are hollering at her in the stands. I'm like cognizant of that. And I'm on the bench, like just trying to get some play time. And like on my team, we were D2 at the time. There's grown men out there, you know, like you could be going to play college. There's like 30, 35-year-old men out there. And they went to sub me in. He went to sub me in for the center. Our center's his height. He goes to sub me in. We're losing. It's like late in the game. I'm like almost thinking like, bro, you're putting me in. He wouldn't come out. They go to sub me in. I go to walk in. The dude's like, fuck that. Fuck that. I'm not coming. Doesn't come out. And I'm just like, all right, I'll just
cool,
sit back
bro,
down.
I got you. Give him an air five. Yeah. I got you, bro.
That was horrifying.
That's fucked up. That's a bad feeling. I couldn't imagine that.
I can't play.
I don't know if you had any embarrassing moments or not. But
Coach, anyone else you want to try to set me in for? This motherfucker's not coming out. Anyone else you want to set me in for? Embarrassing moment in the NBA? Oh, yeah. I remember one time in a Miami game, Nelly was being an asshole. I went from playing a lot to not playing at all. And he subbed me in at the end. I think we were blowing him out. And somebody pumped me. I wasn't sure if it was D-Wade, but someone pump faked me, and I just tripped on the pump fake and, like, ran past him and, like, fell down out of bounds. Jack and Barrett always tell this story. But that was probably my most embarrassing moment. I mean, I've been dunked on and that kind of shit, but to me,
it's all on camera.
Yeah, I'm not embarrassed on that shit. You know what I mean? Like,
it's just the whole world, you know, watching.
It's forever.
Yeah. Nah, people get dunked on. I'm not tripping off that, but he made the shot fake. Got me stumbling.
Mm. All right, so fuck it. I got one basketball one. Uh-oh. I loved basketball as a kid, if I were to throw it out there.
Uh-oh.
You know, and one of my whole shit, I can dribble, you know. I can dribble really well. Other than that, I'm like, bro, just pass it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm not going to fucking lay up on these Giants. Anyway, I went to go try for basketball. I'm starter in every single sport. I'm the fucking captain of the line. Every sport I play, I'm like, oh, hell yeah.
I love it.
I'm good in sports. Wrestling fucking fools up. Go to basketball because at school, I'm doing the hot sauce shit, wearing a big shirt. Oh, juking fools, throwing it to Andre, and he just, bam, like perfect team.
Uh-huh.
And I suck other than that. So I'm like, I'm going to go try.
I feel like your energy reminds me of like a Chris Farley when he tries to do shit.
Oh, all right. Yeah, okay. I can see myself falling down the hill and being okay at the end. Yeah, some Chris Farley. I take that as a compliment.
I'm like, yeah.
All right. So, I'll go try out for basketball. Seventh grade, I'm like, all right, bam. My homie Anthony, he's big as shit. And I'm like, don't be a ball hog, because on the playground, I'm a fucking ball hog, because I just want to get somebody to fall. Mm-hmm. You know, it's and one. That's all we do. We got the tapes at the flea market. I have no shoes. I'm wearing fucking Converse, but, like, I'm going to juke the shit out of these fools.
Right. Low cuts?
No, always high tops. I didn't fuck with the lows, dude. I like a pair of green lows.
I never wore highs. I always fuck with the lows.
I can't do it. I was just a little short, fat kid, so I'm like, the lows just made me look like a nurse.
So you felt like you had a little bit of protection in the high voice. A little bit more confidence, too.
Yeah, the sand, I'm like, oh, those tight tops.
Makes sense.
Oh, he looks sick. He can jump high.
Benny the Bullet.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. I'm like, don't be a ball hog. I go, and I'm just passing it, being cool. Passing it, I dribble a couple times, lay up, I make. I'm like, all right, these are tryouts. I never try out for basketball. I go to the thing the next morning, name's not on the list, didn't make it. I go to the coach, like, you just don't take the ball initiative enough, and you just pass too much. It wouldn't give me, and that was it.
Mm.
So I went from don't be a ball hog, and didn't even make
it's
the team.
It's a fine line.
Mm.
Anthony made it.
Mm-hmm.
I was
Who told you don't be a ball hog?
I myself.
Oh.
I was like, don't be a ball hog. This is a team sport. This is a real school thing.
So if you would have gave me your mixtape, you probably would have.
Thank you.
You never know what happened.
I threw it out the fucking backboard and caught it. That's all I could do to this day.
Yeah.
I suck.
Does that go through your mind, like, even in your earlier days, like, I want to not look like a ball hog, but I need to get my shots off. I'm trying to go up the ranks.
No, you just got to, I mean, you got to figure out what your position is on the team. You know what I mean? Everyone wants to come in and be a scorer, but, you know, you may be good at scoring it on a certain level, but there's just levels of scoring. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I just kind of adapted. I went from, you know, averaging nearly 30 points and, you know, a triple-double in high school to, like, in college, in the low teens to the NBA, I was like 10, 11. You know what I mean? I just found out what my role was. Yeah, I would have wanted to shoot more and score more, but that just wasn't what my role was. My role was to play defense, you know what I mean? And rebound and do, you know.
Do you know who David Goggins is?
I don't.
He's like one of the greatest endurance athletes alive.
Okay.
But he has a really good book out, and he was talking about when he played basketball, he's like, there's always room on the floor for the best defensive player.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Well, to me, I mean, there's room on the floor to play hard, because it's kind of like a lost art, you know what I mean? So to you know, my role, I play defense. You know, I dove on the floor. I got rebounds. I made fouls. I made hard fouls if needed. You know, but I can do more. Like, I just understood that, like, that's what they need me to do. So when I got my shots, you know, I would knock them down. But, you know, I just figured out what the fuck I had to do and made a career out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't the most talented by far. I just, you know, probably had the most heart. I mean, it was going to do whatever it took to last. So I just kind of take that mentality into business now. You know,
exactly.
I mean, that's why in business I'm moving as if I was like a 10-time All-Star. You know what I mean? Those are kind of, I'm getting the same deals and opportunities and shit, running shows that those kind of guys get. So
it's like Nori. Like, Nori wasn't ever the biggest rap star in the world, but now he's established his lane in podcasting. He's the biggest shit.
Gillian
Wilde, same thing.
Find your lane.
It's a whole other side people don't ever get to see.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, people finally get to see I'm not an asshole.
Yeah.
You know?
And I get to do different sides, though, too, because obviously all the smoke, we can do this, but then I'm on ESPN, that's Disney. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's a certain way I got to move and talk and... Although they're a lot looser now, that's just not who I really am. You know what I mean? And then on the flip side, I commentate games. So that's a whole other side that I have to kind of give. So it's dope that I get to do this with the homies. And then I also have to put the tie on and do this. And then I get to talk about the game.
Worlds.
You know what I mean? So there's a bunch of different lanes. So I want to use that, like, ultimately to, like, be like a daytime talk host. Like, not about sports,
shit,
but just kind of like on the Michael Strahan type shit. Mm-hmm. Just someone that's just well-versed across several different platforms, and they can bring people together and can get people to open up and really talk. You know, so that's kind of my goal of doing all this shit, because I'm gonna get tired of doing all this shit. Like, I want to be able to focus on one thing, you know. But until I feel like it's gonna happen, I'll continue to, you know, mix here and mix here and mix here and mix here and mix here. But it's all fun shit, you know what I mean? I get paid to like smoke weed and interview the most amazing people in the world. I get paid to talk about sports, you know what I mean? So it's just like,
you lucked out again.
It's a lot, and I travel a lot and I move a lot, but it's, come on, man. I got to play basketball for a long time, and now I could talk about basketball and other sports until I don't wanna do it no more. Like, come on, man, kidding me?
You couldn't ask for more. I got to be honest, because we talk about post-life, post-being an athlete. What do? That's right. The biggest part of your life. You're only an athlete for a small portion of your life.
Yeah, you got to think the average professional career is, you know, less than 3 years. You know,
is it really?
Yeah.
Less than three?
Less than three.
What was it like after 17-year, I believe, pro career?
No, I was 15.
15?
It was cool. Like, you know, I signed a 3-year deal going into that last season, not knowing it was going to be my last season, but I ended up, you know, I was in Sacramento. I was going to go finish with my hometown team. And then midway through the season, they decided to trade DeMarcus Cousins. And then I just, you know, I talked to the management. So I'm, you know, too old to try to start over. Like, I want to go too. They're like, okay, you know, we're going to go young right now anyway, so perfect. So I get let go, but they still have to pay me the rest of my contract. And then I get a chance to go play with the Warriors. With KD and Steph and Clay and Trey and the last half of the season and you know, end up winning the championship. So I just decided to kind of step away from basketball, you know. I was still being paid for 2 more years. I wanted to be more present with my kids because my twins were growing up and I was going through a lot, not really being able to see them at the time. So I walked away from the game. So I was ready, you know what I mean? So I was lucky, and then right from there, fumbled on some TV. Like, I was big in the cannabis space, you know, so that's where the first thing I jumped into out of retirement, kind of wanted to be the shield for current players. So, you know, myself, Al Harrington, we were going out and meeting with the NBPA and the NBA, talking about them, you know, you guys need to study this and there's benefits from this and that, you know, get some people to research it, and went back and forth with that for a long time. And then I went into the space, but then, you know, shortly after, I stumbled on media and kind of made a lane for myself there, and I haven't looked back. I've never thought, like, damn, I still want to play, or damn, I wish I love it. I talk about it. I go to the games. I coach my kids' games. But I just appreciate, you know, the run I had. I'm luckiest, you know, luckiest man in the world. I mean, I get to play 15 years, and then, like, again, now retired, I get to be me, tat it up on ESPN. Mm. They know I smoke weed. You know what I mean? It's just like, kidding me? people see me everywhere, you know? So it's just, I don't take that for granted. It's just such a tremendous blessing. And I think because I've just always been me, like, there's no bullshit with me. Like, once you get to know me, like, you might see, again, people thought I was a certain way, but when they get a chance to know me, hear me talk, they're like, oh, okay, he's a pretty cool motherfucker, you know what I mean? So it's just like, this is how I am most of the time. I'm always, you know, if you're around me, I smoke and I handle my business and I'm a father, you know? That's my life. So
are you a weed snob with it? Are you real particular in strains and stuff?
I just smoke 7 leaves most of the time. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, we have a nice little, we got about 11 different strains. So I smoke my own shit most of the time, but I'm always open to try, you know, you know, what's given to me. But I'm simple. You know, I know what gets me high and keep going. I'm not like a, it's an art now. You know what I mean? I'm just an old school. Let me just smoke my weed and.
I don't need
to know a whole bunch about it. I just need to know how it makes me feel.
Yeah.
I just need to know
how it makes what me I feel. Like,
Marty goes, I don't know what it is. I've been smoking it.
Yeah.
And I ask, what are you smoking? I don't fucking know.
I'm not one of the ones going to give you the breakdown. I'm just going to tell you that, that shit got me high.
Exactly.
No, question. That shit didn't
I want to switch this up real quick. I just want to do it. I know you have some notes. What's your favorite 3 movies of all time?
Friday series is one as a whole.
Oh.
Friday.
Okay. Damn. I was going to say, you can put comedies on another top three. Yeah. But if you're going to go all three, all right.
So for, no, those aren't. No, I'm just saying that.
No, one. As one. Mm-hmm.
Paid in Full.
Good shit.
New Jack City.
All right.
Or Above the Rim. Like one of those three.
Sounds
like Marty.
All
right. Great answers. Right.
I didn't give you three. I gave you like six. You get where my mind was.
Because I was going to. I went to look up, like, I was thinking about my top favorite basketball movies. And then I realized, because I was going to ask, like, here's my top 5. What's your top 3 or whatever? But then I realized there's so many great basketball movies that I didn't realize. Like, I had to go to top 10.
It's hard to narrow.
Let me throw a couple at you.
I'm sure I forgot a bunch of shit. Yeah.
All right. Got. He Got Game. Loving Basketball. Yeah. Above the Rim. Basketball Diaries. Coach Carter. White Man Can't Jump. Six Man. Space Jam. Celtic Pride. Hoosiers. Hoop Dreams.
Damn.
For me, it's He Got Game.
Basketball Diaries in that motherfucker. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
They play a little basketball.
Was that with Leonardo?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, you good shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most people go, what is that?
Yeah, basketball movies are dope. Yeah, He Got Game is probably one. I love White Man Can't Jump. I think Kenya Barris redid White Man Can't Jump.
They're it's coming out.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
I guess that.
Oh,
was
dope. The when is movie. It?
This year. I know that. That's all I know. He told us. I don't know. Sometimes like next summer.
Love it. And then Above the Rim, obviously.
Mm. What'd you think about Ray Allen? He Got Game is like dope. One of the. That's probably the biggest player who's been in a role. That biggest role, right?
And he was solid in the role too. Like he
it's perfect.
They you know they cut that. Who that was? They said the movie was about Stephon Marbury.
I think so. Yeah, it was like Coney Island.
You know, Ray Allen was born in Atwater, right by Merced.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, at the base.
Interesting.
Yeah, every time I look at Merced, I'm like Ray Allen.
We learned something new. Home of Ray Allen.
Home of Ray Allen, right there by the flea markets.
We talked about the Chucks, but throughout your career, on and off, what's been your favorite shoe?
Chucks. Oh, I went through a phase. I mean, it's always been Chucks because I'm just straight West Coast. But Air Force Ones for a long time. I probably went through like 1,000 pair of Air Force Ones in the time where you couldn't have scuffs on them. So if they scuffed once, it was
look
over.
Look at Nelly. Look you what you mean? Did to everybody.
You go and buy like,
to be white.
Like 15 or 30 of those at a time, especially if they got the 14.
So 15 you just, yeah, pairs, you said?
Yeah.
Hold on.
We go to a guy that'd get them, yeah, because you just
this
you
is
always
in your
them.
NBA career, though.
Yeah.
Okay, that's there. I was like,
yeah.
What were you doing as a child that you could afford that many
pairs? I had Payless shoes until I was in high school. Then I used to get, like, one good pair of shoes a year, and I would always pop the air sole, like, 6 months into school and then go back and exchange them. I did that all through high school. That was my how to keep a
pop,
you know?
Oh, and they'll give the exchange
yeah,
them
they
for
exchange
you?
Them.
How do you pop just with a little
just
needle?
Just a little needle, yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's my little hustle because we really did. Like, it took my mom, like, to buy me a $100 pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. You kidding me? So it was only me. You wouldn't even get my brother and sister now. Like, you get one pair this year. After that, back to these $14.99 motherfuckers. You know what I mean? So I would take
shit.
Care of them. I would clean them up. And then, like, you know, halfway through school, I'd pop them motherfuckers and have a fresh pair for the last run of school. So I had a little, that was my little hustle.
Damn, those slant shoes at Payless, yeah. That just brought me back.
Fucked up. Because remember, they used to look like the Jordans, like the Payless
yeah,
shoes
yeah.
used to look like. You get three pair of them bitches for $39, just like.
Dude, Payless fucking held it down when I was a child.
Oh, for damn sure.
I got those light up LA Gears when I was a kid.
Eastsiders?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Man, it wasn't.
Eastsiders? What is
yeah,
that?
No. That was the name of the brand. Eastsiders?
No, I don't remember that at all.
All right, speaking of the same kind of time frame. First car, favorite car.
Oof.
First car was a Lincoln Town Car with velvet interior. And me and my friends were fucked. Like, we were doing Jackass shit before. Like, and then Jackass came on right when, like, we were in high school, so we knew we were on to something. Like, we used to, like, run into each other with our cars or just, like no brakes. Like, not going hella fast, but we would, like, coast into our friends, like, 10 miles an hour and just blast our whole front. So
fucking
I say all that to say
up?
That...
Like,
oh yeah!
Oh
always
hell! No.
Yeah, we
fucked
around.
You were on some Jackass shit.
But I had a big town car, so my shit was heavy. They had like Honda Accords. Yeah, you know, yeah. I used to move when you go over the bumps. But someone banged the corner of my shit, so we couldn't. I didn't have no money to get it fixed, so like I used to have to hold the door closed with my arm because it they banged it so it wouldn't fucking shut all the way.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yo, you're fucking around. I'm not paying for that shit. So I had to ride that shit for a minute, like. Would hold the doors closed while I was driving.
Did you ever tie it?
No, I didn't deny it. Just every time I just stick my arm out the I just got used to it. It was what it was. People see me driving down the street.
My door used to freeze open in the winter. Buffalo,
yeah,
I used to have to do that
yeah,
same shit.
Yeah, that shit sucked. favorite car? That was my first, my favorite. I was always pretty simple, to be honest with you. It was always Benzes and Cadillacs, Escalades. But then I had a Ferrari for a couple years. That was pretty dope.
You fit in that shit?
Yeah, California.
You fit
take the back seat out?
No, it wasn't the back. You just scoot the seat all the way back. Yeah.
Wow. Shit.
Yeah. That was
I'm shocked
there.
Right now, man.
Yeah.
What's your, you want to tell them about your predicament and what you're waiting on?
Oh, man, I've been waiting on my damn car for like almost 5 months, 4.5 months. And tomorrow's the day, they said.
What kind of car?
It's the Maybach, the S680. It's the first one. It's the first one in America. 4 months ago when they said it's landed and they just signed it off Friday.
Port.
Every couple days, a few more weeks. So I've just been sitting here carless for 3 weeks now because I sold my other car.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm just sitting here.
You got the mothership coming in, huh?
Oh, I'm so
what color is it?
It's all black, but I'm gonna paint it.
You got plans for it.
Wrap it, yeah. I'm so fucking juiced. Congratulations,
man.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just waiting.
Patiently waiting.
Yeah, I've been Ubering.
That's a pretty big purchase.
I've been Ubering everywhere. Now, it's getting, switching subjects real quick, it's getting towards the end of the season. Obviously, you work for the Kings. You're kind of biased. They're doing good this season. What's your forecast for, like, the finals?
I'm excited. I think it's going to be really good. The West is tight, super tight. You know, three games separate four to out of the playoffs. So, plans are going to be good. Sacramento's having a really good year. I'm happy for them. I'm from there, obviously. It's been 16 years since they've made the playoffs, so I'm really happy for them. But I'm also realistic. I just think this is going to be a great first experience. The only way you're going to get better and continue to climb is to get your feet wet. So I can see Sacramento getting through the first round and you know, making some noise in the second round. I'm not someone that's going to say because I work for them, I think they're going to win a championship. Like, I'm you know, realistic, but I think they have a great chance. They get hot. I think their ceiling can be the Western Conference Finals, to be honest with you, if they got hot, because that's how talented they are. But then you look at Phoenix with Kevin Durant coming back and Aiden coming back. They're going to be tough. Don't really know how I feel about Denver. I like that you're kind of like the person that passes the shots around. You just do the joints. I like that.
Yeah, casually.
Thank you.
Yeah, Clippers, if Paul George comes back, they got a chance. And you can never count out Golden State. Eastern Conference, I like Milwaukee. Think they're the best team in the NBA right now. Boston. And then the dark horse, I think, will be Philly. So if I had to pick two teams to go to the finals, I would say it's going to be, I want to say Boston, but I have to go Milwaukee versus Phoenix in the finals.
Okay. The official prediction.
This is completely off subject. Growing up in Sacramento, what was the first concert you ever went to without your parents?
I've never really, to be honest with you, I've probably been to, I'm not gonna lie to you, maybe four concerts my whole life.
For real? Do you just not like the vibe?
No, I'm not, I love every time I go. I just would rather chill at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
You know what I mean?
Damn. Truly rather just sit at home.
Yeah.
Well, I just feel like, you know, and this is not to sound any certain way, like, I don't have fun going out to sporting events because it's constant take pictures, mm-hmm. autographs, and it's never, you really get a chance to chill.
I get you.
You know, if you're doing some backstage shit, you know, that's something I'll go to. But outside of that, I would rather just, you know, never been a huge concert person, even when I was younger. We didn't have the money to do it back then. But when I got the ability to go to concerts, I remember I've been to a Kanye concert. I've been to a Jay-Z concert. Snoop. Might be missing one. Tony.
Oh, wow.
by the way, they're going on. That one may be a little too... how old are you?
36.
33.
Okay.
Yeah,
they're going on tour. Like, they're going on tour. I'm excited.
Fifth grade for me.
Yeah.
I was in third grade.
They're going on tour. So, yeah, I've never been a big concert, man. Sorry to have a... I went to a Kanye concert in Sacramento when I was playing for the Kings in, like, 16, and he did... Remember when he was doing those, like, those 10-minute sets, and he would leave?
Oh, no.
Remember when he was on his bullshit, and he wouldn't finish shows, and he would leave? Like, he left.
Oh, no, I missed that.
Oh, yeah.
What, 2016? What was I doing? Oh, no. I was busy.
Yeah. But he was on a vibe where he would finish shows, sometimes not finish shows. He did, like, 10, 20 minutes at this Sacramento show and then bounced.
I'd be so fucking like, what the fuck? Pissed. Mm. Are you kidding me? You went to four shows and one of them was a quarter of a show?
It was dope, though, why it went.
it was good 20 minutes.
Yeah, I missed that. I missed that.
Does the NBA, like, how... I'm just trying to imagine how they would deal with, like, security. With, like, with all the John Morant issues and everything, like, do they ask you to kind of be low-key?
They expect you to carry yourself a certain way.
Yeah. That's
hard sometimes, you know what I mean? Especially in, you know, John Morant's situation, you know, 23-year-old, one of the up-and-coming faces of the league, $200 million contract, new shoe deal. He probably just lost touch with reality a little bit. He probably felt invincible, you know what I mean? But who can blame him at that, you know, at that point? And I think he has a new appreciation because he realizes the game can be taken away from him. I don't think he thought he was invincible. that nothing was going to...
Can you educate me? Did he just take a picture with a gun? Is that all it was over?
Oh, no.
I don't really know a lot about the situation.
I think that was the kind of the stamp, but he had a run-in of, you know, a couple different situations. You could look him up in maybe a 2 or 3 month span that would just... You never want your outside shit to be louder than, and that's saying a lot because he is so talented. So you never want the outside noise to be louder than you are, you know, more noise than you're making on the court. But it was like he was doing shit that he just shouldn't have been doing. So, you know, luckily he had an opportunity to right his wrongs and realize the game can be taken away at any moment. And I think he has a new appreciation for it. So, but to answer your question, it's just on you. You got to move the right way. If you feel like you need security, take security. You know what I mean? I would never tell someone not to use a gun, like carry a gun, you know, because it's just a crazy world. But, you know, if you're going to pull it, you know, I was taught that if you're going to pull it, you have to use it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not for show or likes or comments, sure, you know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, it's to each his own. Everyone had, you know, something to say. But my thing was I just, you know, hope he gets an opportunity to right his wrong and correct himself and understand, because to me, he's incredible. Like, a future face of the league. That's how good this kid is. So I'm happy that he's back on track and, you know, helping his team get to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Side question. First time, I think I was four, and I told the story. I was watching Beauty and the Beast with my homies, and these fools tried to jump me. It was my first fight I ever got into.
At four? Remember?
I was like four years old in Fresno. These kids all tried to beat the shit out of me. And I kicked him right in the dick.
There you go.
And I ran. I kicked him in the dick. There's so many kids. I just ran. Do you remember the first fight you ever got into? You have to remember.
Yeah.
And the thing is, sorry, we're going into this as we're normal-sized people. Growing up, you're...
No, I wasn't. Bigger kid, but I wasn't, like, way bigger than everyone else. Like, there was kids my size still.
Mm. When did you get tall?
I probably, tall in junior high, I went from, like, 5'10 to 6'4 over that from 8th grade to when I started 9th grade.
So you were already, chilling, listening to your own kind of music kind of age and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Were you center in high school, though?
No, I was a guard. Yeah, I handled the ball. So.
So do you remember that?
First fight? Yeah. I had a bunch of fights when I was young, but I'm talking about, like, my first real fight I felt like outside of my neighborhood was, like, when I was a 4th grader against a 6th grade kid. And he sucker punched me and got me a nice knot, like a little knot came up. But I chased him down and beat the shit out of him. But that was like my first fight, like outside of like my family or cousins or kids in the neighborhood.
Was this over? There has to be something.
I don't remember. Was it? We were playing kickball and some shit happened. Like, I don't know. I think maybe didn't agree or something. And
playing kickball.
I thought we were going to walk up and push each other. He walked up and just took off on me and got me. I whooped his ass, but yeah, he got me. My very first introduction to fighting, like outside of, like I said, my area.
Oh yeah,
but I won though.
Real actual fight.
But a bunch of ones in the neighborhoods, and
that's a little.
You fight all the time. Like I grew up fighting, but yeah.
See, the thing is, I grew up. Well, obviously, you know Merced. Merced is. It's fucking gang town, drug town, and I was the only one that I wasn't fighting all the time. I was just like, oh, that's Thomas. He just, you know.
Yeah. I'd rather do other shit. You know, playing in the creek, playing outside. We play all kinds
of
sports.
Hell yeah. The creeks were fun. Yeah, well, you're from all right, you go to the creeks. Do you ever build those the bike jumps and shit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had a whole little bike jump area, had a little bike gang.
I asked this question to myself during the pandemic, and I just thought it was funny that we brought it up on the show. If 16-year-old version of you walks in, it's like, yo, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Are you winning right now or 16-year-old version of you winning?
I'm going to whip my 16-year-old ass.
All right, there it is.
But I would try to talk him out of it first.
That's the first?
Yeah.
That's the first time.
I'll beat the shit
wise
out of
him. Wise answer.
Yeah, the first, the first, I'll educate him.
Uh-huh.
All right, so
he's a real dad.
It's a great question, because when I was 16, I used to do competition, weights and shit. So I was like a little, beat the shit out of myself. Uh-huh. I would lose right now, bro. But hopefully we'll change that.
See, I was lucky. Like, we grew up fighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't about no guns. I mean, there was a couple, you know, parties, shots would ring off, but I was blessed that I didn't, you know, it was here. So that's what it was. So I'm glad it wasn't no shooting.
Question I like to ask, if we could look at your lifetime listening, like Spotify list, who would be your all-time most listened to throughout your lifetime?
Tupac.
Mm.
It's not even close.
Yeah, it's probably Me Too, Legendary. What about a favorite album? For me, it's Machiavelli album.
Machiavelli's dope. All Eyes on Me is dope. It's hard with him. I mean, that's why he's, you know, he was the first one we did on the wall. I think Pac and Big are like my two, like, kings. I don't even count them as, like, they say greats. Like, I kept them out of it because to me they're the greatest. And what they accomplished in such a short amount of time, you can imagine if they had some, were able to have some longevity, like the things they could have did alive would be incredible for music. It would definitely be Pac, though.
Yeah, he was 25 when he died. You never really think about that. Like, a 25-year-old.
I thought about that when we talked about it. I was like, I'm 30, what?
Yeah.
Damn, he was a child. Damn.
Biggie died on my 16th birthday.
Really?
March 9th, 96. My 16th birthday. Yeah.
What's been your favorite era in the NBA? We talk about like the 96 era and music and movies and everything, but.
To me, the greatest era is the 90s. I think music, sports.
Overall.
NFL too.
Yeah, I just.
When it mattered the most.
I think 90s are the dopest. NBA, I like the 80s.
Okay.
Because I'm just more of a, I was a football player playing basketball, so I would have loved to be able to play like with the Lane Beers and the Rambuses and to be able to really hard foul someone or even swing on them and just have to go sit out for a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I would have loved that. I think that would have been dope, you know what I mean, to really get a chance to obviously compete at that level. But if you just happen to throw them, you happen to throw them, and you're not, it's not going to cost $100,000.
Yo, what a way to think about fighting.
I got
fighting.
Reckless. Man, it's heavy.
No.
That's why I never swung first. Like, if you press me and swung on me, but I'll push you out of my way or something like that. Quick. But that first swing, it's going to cost you.
It's 100 no matter what if you swing somebody.
I don't know what it is, but it's ugly. Because I know I've got $35,000 pushing fine, so I can only imagine if I would have swung.
For pushing?
For pushing.
Mm-hmm.
That's so crazy getting fined, that costs money.
Mm.
Oh,
I saw the
shit.
Dude who just got fined for doing this, the money thing to the ref. You see that? Luca? He looked like he got fouled or whatever, and he came up, he did this to the ref, and they fined him like $35,000 or something for gesturing to the ref like that.
I didn't see that.
Have you ever
had
any experiences where you're like, these refs are fucking...
Oh, yeah, I had a lot of technical fouls. A ton of them. I had over $500,000 in fines when I was in the NBA.
Oh, they just take it out of your check?
Mm-hmm. You don't even get to see it. It's like it never came. Like you never touched it.
Damn.
Yeah.
Hell, because you imagine, every time you cuss an ash on the table and do some stupid shit.
Shit come up light.
I'll be pissed. But then again, I get it. All right, you're basically playing that game for free if you swing on somebody. Well, not really, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Marty, do you have anything else you wanted to...
No, I think we hit all of our notes here.
Yeah, we had a good little run here. I like
Thank
the little
you. This is legendary. We appreciate this. You.
Thank you for having me, fellas.
For everyone out there, how can they find you online? It's just... No, it's Matt Barnes across all platforms.
Yeah, Matt_Barnes9 on Instagram. All the smoke. You can find us there. You can find me on ESPN. You can find me...
Does it feel weird saying all these things
NBC.
Now?
As you know, I love it. Hand? You find me on NBC.
NBC.
You know what I mean? ESPN. I love being able to be on... multiple platforms, kind of, you know, carving my little niche in each. Mm-hmm. So,
who would be your top picks for guests on the podcast if you could have anybody?
Oh, good question. Jay-Z, love to pick his brain. Drake, maybe Michelle Obama.
Mm.
Some pick. Oh, you guys. Oh, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
I don't think LeBron's ever done a podcast, has he?
Yeah, man. I would love to get LeBron. I feel like LeBron kind of wants, and I'm not even mad at him. Like, he's got his own platform, you know what I mean? So why would I go get my dope shit to? And I get it, because that's content. It's a game. It's a business now. But hopefully, I hope one day. I seen him at Draymond's wedding. He said he was coming on. So hopefully we'll be able to catch him at some point.
Be so sick.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Dan DeVito in here.
Oh, MJ. MJ.
Oh,
need MJ.
Okay. Yeah. MJ. Yeah, it's kind of something you're like, come on, man, do us a favor. Just put the cigar down for a second.
Just for the culture of just sports and just
for
general,
the culture. That's
people,
one that's kind of like, just like,
please.
They need it.
Yeah. So, man, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Fellas, thank you for having
appreciate
me.
Appreciate you guys.
All the smoke, showtime. Yes.
Oh, what day do you drop? All the smoke?
Every Thursday. I think we're dropping, depending on when this is coming out, we just dropped Isaiah Thomas. Coming this Thursday, so check us out. But go to All the Smoke; it'll tell you when it's coming.
Appreciate you being here.
Legendary. Marty. Thank you, sir. We really appreciate it.
Thank you,
fellas.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Guys, this has been the Dope As Usual podcast. Thank you so much for being here. For Marty, for Matt Barnes, and I, have a dope-ass day.
I'm high.
I am, too. Shit.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. Yeah.
Thanks for watching the podcast. If you thought this was dope, you'll like this episode, too. And don't forget, the best way to support the show, tell a homie.